Dis-Chem released its first half numbers today, delivering a 9.4% rise in revenue. And this was partly fueled by the 7 new stores it opened, contributing 155 million rand to the overall revenue. The pharmacy chain CFO, Roy Mares, joins us on the line for more insight on how it plans to maintain this kind of growth going forward. Thanks so much, Roy, for joining us on the line this evening. So as I say, we've had Dis-Chem's half-year profit rising up 10.5% as you lifted market share across all divisions. You have grown by 7 stores in the first half, though, so that lending some of the impetus. What's your reading of the consumer market you're catering to at the moment?
So at the moment, I mean, it's a very difficult consumer environment. I mean, conditions are tough, which was very evident in our July trading period. And we see the consumer being very value conscious. Even in an industry that's relatively resilient like ours, we did see basket and volume pressure in the first 6 months. Our gain in share, you know, we put down to kind of a differentiated offering in a relatively resilient industry.
Okay, so with that being the case then, I mean, you're targeting a pretty aggressive expansion amidst it all. I mean, is that warranted where you've got the CEO adamant that the group stands by its plan to end the 2019 financial year with a minimum of 151 stores, and that means opening more than one new store every single month?
It does. I mean, it's not ideal in terms of the deployment of stores over the period. I mean, you generally find that some of the landlords or some of the property developers try and force stores in prior to the Christmas trade, which ends up in a situation like we have. But it's no better time in a tough environment, considering our differentiated offering to open space aggressively and grow share. I think as time turns, I mean, you'll start to see some price inflation come through our numbers because of currency movements. We'll be well positioned. I mean, market share gives us the ability to negotiate better terms with vendors, etc. So we're very much on track and very dependent on opening new space and space maturing.
When it comes to securing that new space, Roy, how are you targeting locations so that, one, there isn't cannibalization from current stores, and two, where one assumes trading density matters?
So it's a very scientific approach. I mean, we're very dependent on the size of the prescription market in specific areas. That normally denotes how many stores we open in a specific market. It will be in certain instances that there will be a co-located effect, but ultimately, when we look at going into a market, you know, the private prescription size and the private prescription volumes drives the number of stores we believe are feasible in that area and can generate the same metrics that we've delivered historically. And that is really the approach. I mean, dispensary drives volume. It underpins our trading density, or certainly our superior trading density relative to the rest of retail. And so it's the most important characteristic when we look at markets.
Of course, Roy, we've got the retail division contributing, 92% to the group's top line. It offsets some of the losses that are coming through from the wholesale division to the bottom line. So talk us through the kind of pricing power you're enjoying right now with the internal inflation at 1.2%, still lower than the 1.26% average single exit price increase, which came through on the 1st of March.
So, I mean, it's very competitive, our space. I mean, we play in categories that the food retailers play in. So specifically, the personal care and baby space is very competitive from a pricing perspective. You know, our story, I would imagine, is compelling. I mean, we're growing share in a very tough environment, and we try and commercialize that with our vendor base. But at the same time, you know, our brand stands, and certainly our brand represents everyday low pricing and range. So we have to invest in price to ensure that we have volumes, and volumes grow share, and share gives you the ability to extract additional terms and additional value from your vendor base.
So the pricing model that you're currently running with, I mean, that's sustainable moving forward?
We think so. I mean, the wholesale division is obviously a step investment. So we now nationally distributed from a wholesale perspective with the facilities in KZN and Cape Town and in Johannesburg in terms of our Midrand DC. And you know, the profitability of the wholesale division is dependent on how many sales we throw at it, which is really dependent on our store rollout in the retail business.
Roy, a concern for investors is, the wholesale division's pre-tax loss position widening. Should they be? How soon before you break even on that front and start turning profitable?
So our target break even at an EBITDA level, so just below the operating profit line, is the end of this financial year. On a monthly basis, the wholesale division is currently breaking even. And it's a function of scale. I mean, that business model is very much about leverage. And like I said, the more retail sales we throw at, the more leverage we can get out of the wholesale division and increase its profitability and ultimately trade at a positive operating profit.
Just looking at your outlook, it certainly is a very ambitious one. You're looking at earnings rising between 18 and 24% for the full year. Now, what's that very ambitious target based on? Because looking at revenue growth over the past 6 months, it's sitting at 9.4%.
It is. One of the things in our space which affects us is single exit price, which is the government gazetted price of medicine. In the first half of this year, we had a 1.26% increase, and in the prior year, we had a 7.5% increase. So our base is very much inflated relative to current trading, but obviously that cycles out of your stock number over a specific period. So we'll see gross margin improvements in the second half of the year, and together with a wholesale improvement, it should get us to that range of earnings guidance, of course, depending on how top line develops.
Yeah.
But it's our best estimation.
Well, we'll catch up with you then, Roy. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That was CFO of Dis-Chem, Roy Morais.